Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to the first quarter 2010 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Thursday, May 13, 2010. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. When we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thanks, Michael. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for dialing in. This is our Q1 2010 financial call. As per usual, I will make some opening remarks, and also present on the call is our president, Dr. Klaus Zeitler, and our CFO, Mrs. Aurora Davidson, and myself and Michael Kuta. I will ask Klaus to make some comments and observations about some of the operating statistics for the quarter and the outlook for Q2. Then we'll open the call to questions. I am pleased this quarter to say to you that we, as a company, have well and truly delivered against the guidance that we have given for our quarterly performance in this quarter. And that achievement is made even more so when one considers that in the middle of this quarter we had a very major earthquake in Chile, which was not the epicenter of which was some 200 odd kilometers away from our operations. It could have been had a very serious impact on our business. Fortunately, it did not, and thanks to our management and the good fortune of construction and other matters, that the earthquake itself had minimal effect. We were down to some 8 or 9 days in production, both from our at our operation as well as to our partners at El Teniente. So notwithstanding those challenges during the quarter, we managed to deliver, as I said, against our guidance, and we managed to achieve a net earnings number of just under $3.6 million, and even more importantly, a cash flow from operations of $5.1 million. During the quarter, we also strengthened our balance sheet again back to a strong position, where we have positive working capital of in excess of $10 million. We held consolidated cash of just under $15 million. We received the proceeds of some warrant exercises, which generated approximately $11 million. I think the other thing that is worth mentioning is that not only did we deliver against our guidance for the Q1 production numbers, but we achieved those earnings and cash flow numbers during a period where one of our key costs, being the electricity costs, were higher due to primarily the impact of the earthquake, but of course Q1 is seasonally a high electricity grid cost quarter because of the effects of the low hydro flows, being the last month of summer, last quarter of summer in Chile, and of course a higher demand level for power generally makes that a high cost quarter. But of course, the costs were further impacted by the impact of the earthquake, mainly on the distribution lines of the grid. Klaus will talk about that a little bit more and elaborate on that, on those issues later, and he'll also talk about what the outlook looks like as we go forward. Remember, we also commence a fixed price electricity cost contract in January of 2012, and that will also further reduce our costs. At this point, I would like to hand over the call to Klaus for his comments on the operations.
Yeah, as Stephen said, the earthquake, of course, did have some impact on the production, of course. He mentioned it impacted us 8 to 9 days. And, of course, the first quarter is also impacted by the usual shutdown of El Teniente, around approximately 5 days, and the shorter February months. So all in all, we lost in that quarter more than half a month due to these factors. And that was just a pure shutdown. It also had some longer-term effects in terms of lower production levels of tailings, which are only in the process of normalizing at this point. Tailings from Teniente. And they are normalizing only at this point. On the cost side, we did have some additional costs impacted through the earthquake. We had a crack of the main gear of one of our mills. We have been able to do a temporary repair to that so that we can use that mill, but eventually we will have to replace that gear. So work on that, work on the tailings launder, which is leading to our operations and which is our launder, which is about 3 kilometers long, had some damage, and we had to repair that in order to be able to carry the total load of a normalized tailings delivery from El Teniente. So all these factors affected costs. And as Stephen already said, the electricity costs, of course, in the first quarter are always the highest of the year. With respect to electricity, we are at this point at a level where the marginal kilowatt hour cost is just about the same as if we would produce from our own generators. For that reason, it doesn't make much sense for us to use the generators, and therefore we have, in the last little while, put all our efforts into readying the generators to be included in the central electricity grid of Chile. That will in the future have the benefit that we can supply ourselves from the grid at a cost which is the marginal cost minus 1 cent per kilowatt hour, and we will be able, if the costs are above our marginal costs of producing, we will be able to deliver the electricity at marginal cost. So we have a net benefit of 1 cent there, and in addition, we will get a fixed charge fee from the electricity grid for being always available to supply power. So that will, in addition to the fact that the electricity costs will come down during the year, will have an additional effect on our costs. Outlook of production. We have stated that we expect production in the second quarter to be 30 to 40% higher. Up to now, as things are going up to now, we certainly expect that they will be in the 40% range higher, and that of course will also have an effect on our operating cost. You can imagine that such a change in production in that magnitude of 40% with some significant fixed costs will lower our unit costs per pound of copper. At this point, we are really producing nicely. The effects of the earthquake have all been dealt with. Stephen and I were down in Chile just recently, and we were just reporting to our directors yesterday how fast the reconstruction, at least in the area where we are, has progressed. Now, further south where the epicenter of the earthquake was, that area still has significant problems, but in the area where we are located, progress has been phenomenal. I think that's all I like to say at this point. If there are any questions, I can further elaborate.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you wish to ask a question, you may do so by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your question, you may press the pound sign. So please press *1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Pat Donnelly of Toronto. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. I'm just filling in for Ray Goldie, so I apologize in advance if I'm asking something that may have been discussed in previous calls, but I just have some more questions about the power costs. I think you answered one of my questions with the generator. But I'm asked also the royalty that was applied to the costs, and I'm guessing that the royalties are higher because the second royalty came more into play, the newer one that deals with the old tailings. Would that be correct?
Yeah, and perhaps that is something which I didn't mention. The production in the first quarter, as well as it looks at this point in this quarter, will be up to up to our budget levels, mainly due to the fact that we are overproducing from the old tailings and we are underproducing from the fresh tailings. And the reason for that is, as I said already, that we are still receiving less than budget deliveries of tailings from El Teniente. While in the Colibas production, we are overproducing both due to higher tonnage than budget that we are at the presently producing at, as well as higher grades.
So then, for this quarter, what would you estimate? The percentage of feed from the old tailings versus the new tailings.
The percentage?
Or generally, yes.
Well, right now, I think we said that in the press release also. We are at around 40% of our production comes from the old tailings and 60% from the new tailings. And going forward, this could go to a 50-50 percentage range. The second reason, of course, for the high royalty is the high metal prices.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why they are particularly high is that in March we had a copper price which was higher than the price which we can book in our books, and it was higher by about 18 cents.
Okay.
And of course, this quarter shows a much higher moly price, which is added into the total royalty number, which has some effect as well.
Okay. And then another question is, in terms of the deferred royalty, I'm assuming that that was not counted in your cash costs. Is that correct?
No.
The
deferred royalty was included in the cash costs.
Was not.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And you paid that down, I estimate, by about $2 million. Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's it for me. I'll pass it on to someone else. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you. Our next question is from David Middleton of Holland Landing. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. I'd like to ask a couple of questions. The first one being labor, what your labor contract is like going ahead, and as pertains to union, and do you have a contract that's in place for the next 3 years, hopefully?
Yes.
Okay, that's a quick answer. When was your last hydro?
You were asking union. I was just down in Chile, and there was an election of the new union presidency, and I met with the new president of the union, and he's a good golfer, and he has trained a lot of our managers in golf, so there are very good relations with the union, has been in the past and will be in the future.
Thank you. Royalties going forward, are you going to sell forward your copper and diesel fuel? Have you laddered in to costs on your diesel fuel going forward, say 50% or whatever?
Well, when we produce for the grid, as I explained, from our generators, we will not use diesel. We will use heavy oil. And that, by the way, will give us an advantage in terms of being included in the grid ahead of most of the diesel producers, because with heavy oil, we save about certainly 3 or 4 cents. So we can be cheaper than that, and that
3 or 4 cents
a kilowatt hour, and that will give us an advantage. And being included in the grid and giving us the advantage I was talking about before with respect to hedging of the copper, as you know, we had hedges in place. The last hedge we had in place is running out this month. And this was a zero cost contract between 260 and 320. We don't have at present any additional hedges. At this point we are not thinking about any further hedges.
That's great. Now, your bunker C or whatever you're burning, are you laddering in or buying forward? Do you have any contracts going forward for the purchase of
No. No, you have to understand the generators are not running at the moment. They will only, as Klaus described, they will only run when the grid invites us to supply power based on the prevailing market marginal rate.
Right, I understand.
So it's not a question of saying we're going to go ahead and buy a bunch of diesel fuel or bunker fuel forward. It's a question of if we are called on, then we obviously will need to buy fuel to supply the generators. But then, of course, our contract will be that we get our cost plus a recovery, and then as a result, we make the margins that Klaus was referring to earlier. And then when the grid costs fall below that, they will ask us to stop supplying, so we turn them off.
I understand that on the sell side, but you can still have an open contract for a fixed price on your buy side for the fuel. Anyway, going forward, could you tell me when your last audit, your electrical efficiency audit, was, because there's the hydro that you're burning, are you burning it efficiently is what I'm saying, the hydro that you're using?
The hydro which we are using?
Yes, there's old, 40-year-old motors out there that are burning 33% more, or that's the wrong terminology, that are consuming hydro at a 33% higher rate than new technology and new power factor efficient motors.
Right.
I was just wondering when your last electrical audit was done.
I can't answer this question at this point, but as you know, we have the main power usage for us is from our mills and from our extraction recovery system in the old tailings. The extraction recovery system in the old tailings is brand new, so I assume that they did not use motors which are 40 years old. And half of our mills have been installed in the last 4 years. So I would assume that the motors were also up to date at that point.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Our next question is from Kenneth Hefner from Lakeland. Please go ahead.
Has there been a shortage of engineers or construction help dealing with the expansion since there was an earthquake?
We are not the right guys to ask that question because, our requirements for any of the work which we are doing, and we don't have to do much more work for expanding the facilities for the old tailings in order to reach our contractual limit of 45,000 tons throughput per day. We don't have a big demand at this point for engineers. I can't answer that question. From what I said earlier, I mean, you know, there's significant progress being made in rebuilding the damaged infrastructure. So I would assume that that is not a problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Chris Rohr of Burnaby. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm. Could you tell us what the approximate run rate is of tailings per of the amount processed of old tailings? A and B, your goal, I guess, by the end of the year is to reach the 45,000 ton run rate. What has to take place logistically to get that done? If you can give us some sort of idea on the time frame here and what has to take place, because that naturally you'd like to bump it up to 45,000 tons tomorrow, but I realize certain things have to take place. So if you could provide more color on that, that'd be great. And secondly, what would your current power cost be per kilowatt hour? And thanks a lot.
Power costs up to last week, this month, was marginal kilowatt hour cost 13.3 cents, so we received that for 12.3 cents. And then, of course, in order to get total power costs, you have to add the delivery costs and the fixed costs for providing the certainty of receiving power. With respect to the ramp up, we in our budget we have a ramp up which will take us by the end of the year to 40,000 tons throughput from per day throughput from the old tailings. At this stage in our budget, we should be at 35,000 tons, and that's where we are. So we expect that we continue to reach our budget in that area.
Excuse me, was that 40,000 tons or 45,000 tons you hope to
look for? 40,000 tons at the end of the year is in our budget.
Okay, and what should that equate to with that at the current, I realize there's fluctuation and that sort of thing, what should that equate to in copper production? Would the 40,000 equate to 50 million tons annualized run rate approximately? Or I see in some of what you put out, your goal was for 55 by the end of the year, Russ. So what should that equate to at the 45,000 ton run rate?
Well, that would equate to something like 52, 53 million pounds. But you have to understand, of course, that depends on the grades which we are mining, not only the tonnage, and the recovery which we are getting. And very importantly, these numbers are always based also on the numbers which we receive from El Teniente of what El Teniente will deliver to us. If we are running short in that respect, we need to make that up in order to reach our budget from the old tailings, over which we have much more control because we are operating it. All these factors have to be taken into account when you talk about this number. So this number could be 55 million, yes, could be 50 million, I mean, in that range.
Great, and what factors? What is affecting the lack of flow of the new tailings? Is it the earthquake, or is there some sort of structural way in which the mine's being run? And should should it resume to a more expected flow going forward, or what factors are at play there?
Well, I certainly cannot answer that question. That question would have to be posed to El Teniente.
What would your perception of
you know, I mean, to take out 140,000 tons of ore every day from an underground operation, that is a big, big task. And, you know, if you fall short sometimes of that, you know, that can have all kind of reasons, you know, whether be it in the transportation system, whether be it in some delay in the development of a new mining area, you know, I don't know, and it is very difficult to find out, you know, where from what that will really result.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have a question. Our next question is from Wayne Atwell of New York. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Your balance sheet's been getting much stronger and your cash flow is positive. When do you think you might reinstate your dividend?
Well, we'll have to ask our directors when they make that decision. But as we discussed in the last call, which we had, I think it's still premature to think about that. We still want to get our debt further down. We do have some investments to do still this year. But I think in the second half of this year we should reopen that question and discuss whether our cash flow should be used for dividend payments, for repurchase of shares, or for further expansions of our business.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Stephen Aldridge of Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Just on the El Teniente deferred royalties, I just made a note. Is there any more owed on anything deferred?
Yeah, there's still a little bit owed, but you know, by July, everything should be gone.
Okay, and that was just an arrangement you had to sort of pay it off over that period of time.
Right, and you know. So far, we have not made the decision to prepay it. We may at some point do that, but you know, it's such a short period. I mean, we have two more payments to make. So
yeah, okay. And when you're talking about the royalties, it wasn't obviously in this report that the El Teniente royalties were separated out. It just seemed to be all lumped into one cost item.
As El Teniente royalty, you mean?
Yeah, the royalty itself. Yeah, how much is, in fact, the royalty? Because you said the total cost was...
Steve, I think you'll find that we've always disclosed in quite a bit of detail what the royalty is, for both on a per pound basis as well as on a total basis.
Okay. I guess I should look into the... into the numbers more deeply than just the news release.
They're in the notes of the financial statements
and detailed explanation in the MD&A.
Okay, I'll go and look in there. Thanks very much. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Michael Lamb of Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Three questions. Some of these were already discussed. I just want clarification. First one is, you said fresh tailings flow, you're still not getting the full rate. What do you need to do to get the full rate coming from fresh tailings?
Perhaps become the managers of El Teniente.
So I thought that that launder was your responsibility, or is it their responsibility?
No, it's their production, Michael.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an issue with the launder itself, not with production rates.
No. It's their production. So if they produce a lot, they send a lot. If they produce a little, then they send little.
Oh, no. Okay, I got it mixed up. I thought it was related.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought it was related to a tariff launder that happened during the earthquake.
No.
Okay. Second question is, you said you fixed a piece of the mill, and you said that you would have to replace it eventually. Would you try to wait until the next summer maintenance schedule to replace that?
We are holding our thumbs that this Shurate gear, I mean, this is the main gear of one of these big mills, that it holds till we get the new gear. As soon as we get the new gear, we'll put that new gear in.
Okay, and what's the estimated time frame for that?
Right now, we expect it in July.
Okay, so not that long. Okay. So, and the last question is, I think in the last conference call, there were some expectations that electricity prices could get down to the 10-cent level. Is that still in the cards for further out in the next few months, like getting it down to that 10-cent level, or do you think it's going to be in that 13 to 15, 16-cent level going forward, all in?
All in, I would expect it to be above the 10-cent level.
In future months, in the coming months?
Yeah.
Okay.
All in. Not the net kilowatt-hour price.
Okay.
Michael, also depends, of course, like it does here in Canada, about what sort of season. If it's a big rainfall season, that will be a big plus for average cost in the grid Chile-wide.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you, operator. If there are no further questions, thank you all for dialing in. We thank you for your questions, and we look forward to reporting in August on our Q2 results. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.